Hello, this is Cynthia from Elevate Your Life. I'm a life coach who specializes in helping professional women to level up their dating mindset so they can attract the right kind of person into their lives. I created Elevate Your Life to bring hope and teach others. Listening to these stories can inspire hope and give tips on how to level up. Thanks for listening. Brandy, can you start by telling me a little bit about yourself?
Yes, absolutely. So my name is Brandy. I'm a mother of four. I am a mental health therapist who works with like young adults and adolescents on healing their trauma. Mm-hmm. I'm a yogi. I love to read. I love to write. I am just about all things healing and just doing better at like loving on myself. So that's where I am right now in my like journey of life.
I love it.
Yes.
Well, you said that you're a mental health therapist.
Yes.
But you answered my question when I was looking for professional women who struggle in their dating relationships.
Yes.
Can you tell me why that was appealing to you?
I thought it was, I think it caught my eye because there are a lot of like dating coaches and there's a lot of like love stuff and relationship stuff that's out there, but a dating for professional women, like that kind of stood out to me because a lot of times I think that I have a hard time with my dating life because I'm a professional. Again, especially once I tell somebody that I'm a therapist, I think that like scares men off. Like, oh, she's going to try to like therapy me. She's going to want me to go to therapy. She's going to want to talk about deep stuff all the time. So that kind of stuck out to me because I was like, yeah, like I do struggle in my dating life. And also I think that my profession is also like another notch that's like knocks me out of the pool, the dating pool.
Well, sometimes that notch can feel like it's overwhelming, but it's not necessarily always going to be that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are good men out there who do want somebody who's going to be a professional.
Yeah, I hope so.
Of course, I mean, no one's a professional all the time.
Right. And I think that is a misconception too. People are like, you know, we're talking about regular stuff and they're like, but don't therapy me. Or they'll say like, don't judge me for what I'm about to say. And I'm like, I don't work for free. So I'm never about to give you therapeutic advice. And like, if we're at a bar, like I'm drinking too. I'm not being a therapist right now, but I think it's hard for people to see me turn that hat on and off. There's like a perception that people have once they know what I do. So sometimes I just lie about what I do because I don't want to deal with that.
Sometimes it's just easier than trying to explain that.
Yeah, like I work at a school, nothing big, you know. I don't even go there with the therapist. And they say, what type of therapist? And I'm like, mental health. Oh, like, so you talk to crazy people. And I'm like, no, I don't think anyone's crazy, you know. So
you just that's go a good down answer. Don't think anybody's crazy. Very
nobody's
good
crazy. Yeah.
Everybody has struggles. It's just a matter of how big those struggles are.
Exactly.
Okay. So is that your biggest struggle with relationships? Is if you feel like it's your profession or is there more to it than that?
So I think it's more my upbringing. Okay. So I am an only child. Well, on my mom's side, and I was raised by my mom, so I'm an only child. So I think that I'm like very spoiled and I want things to be my way. I also was raised by like an alpha female, I guess you would say. So very independent and strong and like you do this on your own and you can handle anything. And so I think that in a lot of my relationships, I kind of was like the lead. And it was hard for me to let someone take care of me or let someone step into the lead role. Mm-hmm. I'm very opinionated. I speak up for myself. I've always been taught to do that. Don't let anybody run over you. Speak up. And so I think that some of those things, you know, the people in my life as I was growing up had good intentions. But those things have not worked for me in relationships because, you know, men want to feel like they're important and they have a say so and that they want to like lead and protect. And so I think that just the things I heard about men growing up and seeing my mom be a strong woman, seeing my grandmothers, my aunts, like seeing all the women be these strong women, I adapted that. And so that's how I showed up in relationships as like, I got me, I got me, I love you, but not gonna let you have any say. So like I kind of was in like a fear state, honestly. Like I was in love, but I also had a lot of fear. And when you have fear, you kind of have an anxious, controlling way of operating through life. And I think too, I was like living in survival a lot of my life. And so I think that played a part of my relationships too, because I was trying to make it. And so no time for feelings, no time for being affectionate and soft. I gotta get stuff done. I gotta work. I gotta take care of these kids. So I was married from 2017 till 2020. And I got divorced. And again, it wasn't like he left, I left because of things that I was not happy with in the marriage. But doing my own healing and my own self-work and going to therapy myself, I realized that like I wasn't showing up in a way that how a wife should show up, or and I wasn't doing things that my partner may need from me, because again, I was focused on the kids and work and being a career woman and checking all the boxes and not really living in the moment. So yeah, I think that I was trying to make it. I was trying to check boxes. I was trying to, this is what a wife does. I was so worried about the title and the image and not really living in the present moment. And so I think that I didn't make my partner feel secure. I didn't make my partner feel appreciated. And so yeah, I kind of want to fix that. And even dating, so dating after the divorce has been a nightmare, because I think that now my trauma from my marriage and from my past relationships, now I'm like, are they gonna cheat? Are they dishonest? Are they, are they really for me? Is this about an image? And so just being very skeptical of people now. And so learning how to trust and how to date and, who I am now, because who I was in my marriage is not who I am now. And so even dating as myself, my new self now, has been a challenge, because that calls for me to grow and not repeat things and do things differently. So yes, it's interesting for sure.
I feel like when somebody gets divorced, then there's always going to be a time of self-discovery. Like,
Yes.
who am I as myself? Like, not who am I with him, but who am I myself? And who am I when my kids are not with me? Because I want to have a life when they're not here. Or, and
All of
sometimes,
that. Yeah, I think that I went through like an identity crisis, because wife becomes an identity. Wife
It really
becomes
does.
a title or a hat you wear. And so I remember some days looking at my hand with no ring, and I'm like, who am I without this ring? Like I had it on for so long. It's like there was a ring around, a color change around my finger where my ring was. And so sometimes just looking at my hand bare was like, oh God, people are looking at me and people notice I don't have on a ring. Like no one's paying attention to that. But so much of my identity was like, I'm a wife and I'm a mother of four. And this is what I'm a career woman. And so I realized that I was living by these titles. And I'm like, but I was Brandy before I was any of those things. And so who is she? Because the kids now leave on the weekends to be with dad, right? Like that never happened. So who am I once my kids are gone? Who am I now that he's not here? Who am I when I go to a restaurant and eat by myself? My friend group changed too. So, I lost some friends when I divorced. And so it's like, well, then, who am I now? Who are my friends? And then it's funny when you like separate from somebody, you start to analyze everybody. And I
You
realized
really
that
do.
even some of my family was toxic too. Like it wasn't just him, it wasn't just the marriage, it wasn't just the friends. Like I looked at everything in my life and I was just like, I have to dissect every relationship and every person in my life and figure out, does that still work for me? Is that someone that I still want in my life? Have I been too trusting? Have I been naive? So it was definitely this period of like, who am I? What am I? How am I showing up in the world? And like, how do I move forward with all this new information and the loss of a title or a hat, if you will? And so self-discovery, yeah, has been like a big chunk of these past 3 years, really finding out like who I am. So,
What have you discovered? Like, what have you noticed about other people, and what have you figured out about yourself, and any discoveries that are unique or different that you didn't expect?
I think that I learned that like everybody has something. Everybody has trauma. Everybody has pain. And I think the biggest lesson that I've learned is that like what people do is like a reflection of them and their experience, and it has nothing to do with me. I think for so long, like when I lost friends or I got into it with family members or broke up with boyfriends or when I divorced, I took everything so personal. Like they don't like me, they don't love me. How could they do this to me? I mean, I was very much a victim, right? How could they do such a thing? I was nice and I was loving and I was giving. And so it really took a hit to my self-esteem because I started to feel like if all these people treat me crappy, then something must be wrong with me. I must be broken in some way. And I realized that I had codependency issues, very, very codependent. Felt like I needed to be liked or accepted. I wanted lots of friends. I wanted people to think that I was a good person. And so I was very much a people pleaser and, lacked boundaries and just wanted all this stuff around me. I had 2 degrees and, I was doing very well at my job and, I just excelled in everything in life. And I'm like, well, how come I feel so crappy? I have all this stuff. I have the marriage, the house, the kids, the dog. I travel. And I realized that when I had the most, I was the most miserable. And so as I started to discover myself and work on my internal, I realized I really don't need all those external factors because that wasn't making me happy anyway. It was just stuff. It was just titles and like, oh, you're great and you're employee of the month and you're this and that. And I realized that when I really started to like love myself, who I was at the core, and like that everything that people did to me was not about me, but that I wasn't perfect, but like it doesn't mean that I'm this broken, damaged person. I realized like I don't need all that stuff. Like, yeah, I still work and I try to do my best at my job, but I'm not looking to be employee of the month. I'm not going above and beyond. I'm not doing other people's jobs. I'm not begging friends to hang out with me. I'm not feeling bad when I'm not invited. I don't need all that stuff. I stopped getting like my hair. I used to get my hair done, my nails done, always wear makeup and always had to look nice. And now I'm like yoga pants, t-shirt, and a head wrap. I'm good. So I just learned that a lot of my life, I was, like I said, I feel like I needed external validation and I needed people to make me feel good about myself. And so that caused me to have a lot of people around me who weren't the best for me. But I couldn't see that because I just wanted people around me. And now I'm like, no, I want quality people around me. And so if I'm single for a while, or if I don't have as many friends, I'm okay with that because I'm at peace. I'm not being taken advantage of. And the people that are around me, even though there's not many, these are people that genuinely love me and care about me, regardless if I do something for them or not. It doesn't, I don't have to earn it, like those people just love me because I exist and not because of what I can do for them. So I think those have been like the biggest lessons that have like opened my mind to like, you are not this broken person. You are valuable, you are worthy, you are smart, you are beautiful, and you can feel that within. You don't need people around to make you feel that way. So
You're on a great path right now. I mean, one of the things I noticed is that as soon as you start having that self-esteem and as soon as you know who you are, that's really when you start attracting a higher quality guy, because you're not willing to accept every person who walks in the door and says you're pretty.
which is what I used to do. So I'm definitely seeing that now. Like, that's not enough because everybody tells me I'm pretty. So that is like, it almost like triggers me in a sense, I think too, because a lot of my life, my vanity got me by. Like, I'm not gonna lie, people say like pretty privilege isn't a thing. It really is. I've been told that I was beautiful as long as I can remember. That's the first thing people would say, "Oh my God, you're so pretty." People stop me in the store and say, "Oh my God, you are gorgeous," or "You have great skin," or "Oh my God, you're so pretty," And I used to just bask in that, like, "Oh my God, I must be so gorgeous." But again, not always feeling that way. But since people said it, I'm like, it must be true. And once I started to embrace my natural beauty and just really loving who I am and not what I look like, that's not enough for me anymore. Dating pre-marriage, it was much about like, well, he likes me and he's nice and he thinks that I'm pretty and he is like fawning over me, so why would I not be with him? But then I realized that those were the guys that, like, yeah, they thought I was pretty, but it wasn't good quality. I was kind of just like a trophy. And I started to feel that way. And so now when guys say I'm pretty, I'm like, oh God, does he just want a pretty trophy? So I kind of like, well, I have other qualities. Like, I'm smart. And I try to like sell it. Like, yeah, that's not all I bring to the table because it's not. But of course, that's what men see first. They're visual. And so I'm like, oh, thank you. But I hope that that's not all you care about because that's so much more than just that. But yeah, it used to be like, well, he likes me and he thinks I'm beautiful. And so that was enough for me. And now I'm like, nobody.
Yeah.
Not
Well, I'm
going to
sure
do it.
that, as a therapist, women are also visual, just not to the same extent as men. I mean, if you're, looking around and somebody's not attracted to you, you're not going to be flirting with them. It's the same, it's there both ways. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. This is Cynthia with Elevate Your Life. I'm looking to interview ambitious professional women who struggle with relationships in their personal life for my podcast. To reach out, please visit my link in the show notes for an initial interview to see if you're a fit for the show. Hi, are you a professional single lady? Join our Facebook page. The group page is in the show notes. This is Cynthia. Are you frustrated with not getting noticed online? I'm offering a free dating profile review. See the show notes for the link to sign up. Welcome back to Elevate Your Life. Keep thinking about your family and your upbringing, and I'm wondering, do you have any women in your life who do have good relationships and they are able to step aside and let men take the lead in at least some aspects of their life?
So honestly, no. I have, like, my mother is married, but she definitely wears the pants, and I can tell that. And so I'm trying to think. My grandparents, I'm sorry.
But what does he bring to the relationship? Because I'm going to assume that they're happy and healthy. I mean, she
I
didn't
don't.
just marry him for no reason.
Well, again, I think it's because she's pretty and he probably liked her. And also, she may have her own trauma with like men hurting her. And so I think, in my opinion, that it was a, he likes me for me. She's also overweight, and so there may be some insecurity about that. And so the fact that someone's interested was like, okay, great. He's a nice guy. I wouldn't take that away from him, but I don't think he brings much to the table. I know that like at one point it was mostly her income that was supporting them. Like he does work, and she's retired, so she gets like her retirement. But as her daughter, I know that deep down she would have wanted more out of a partner. And I think that's a cycle that I'm wanting to break. I don't want to be with someone just to have someone. I want to be with somebody because they make me happy and they have something to bring to my life that I'm complete and I am happy, but they add to that and not take away from it. And I'm not settling and I'm like, oh, I wish I could have this, but I got something, so let me just go with that. I don't want that. I want to brag about my husband and just look at him and just be like, oh my God, what could I do without you? Like I want that. And I think that a lot of women around me have just been complacent. If they do have a partner, I think that it's complacency and not like if I could like pick, or if I was out there again, would I pick them all over again? I don't think that. I think it's, well, it's been years, the kids are out of the house, and so this is probably the best I can do. And I don't want that type of situation.
No, it's not worth it for that situation.
Yeah, like I really don't have anybody that I could say, hey, can we sit down and talk about marriage and you give me some wisdom and you give me some advice? I'm very big on only taking advice from people that I would switch places with. And I don't have anybody who I know that's married that I would want their marriage or that I would feel like I would be in their shoes. Now, I have some friends who are my age that have happy marriages. And so, yeah, I can talk to them, but they're my age. I want kind of that like auntie wisdom, like, girl, we've been 20 years in, and I'm gonna tell you, a lot of my friends that are still married, they got married around the same time I did. And so they're in the same year that I would be in if I got married. So it's kind of like, y'all still probably honeymooning and y'all probably had a couple tidbits, but I'm talking about that 10-year, 20-year. He gets on my nerves, but I love him. But like, so no, I don't have that. And the ones that I do, again, it's not a situation that I would want to be in, so I don't feel comfortable going to them for advice.
What kind of qualities are you looking for? I mean, you're a strong woman. You're able to do a lot of things by yourself. I mean, it doesn't sound like you need someone to, change the oil in your car or,
I wish I would like that.
it's still nice to have someone who will do it for you because they love you, but not necessarily that you have to have that, if that
Right.
makes sense.
And I think that makes me sad because I can't think of anything that I'm not going to say I can't think of anything that a man could bring to the table, but you are right. Like there are a lot of things that I do on my own. Like, I do go get my own oil changes, you know what I mean? I could put oil in my car if I needed to. And I also have AAA. So like if I got a flat, I couldn't change it, but I could get it changed. But when we talk about qualities, again, I think that pre-marriage, I just wanted somebody who was nice to me, who treated me like a queen, who, again, I'm an only child. I wanted the princess treatment. I want to go to the spa. I want you to take me out to eat. I want to travel. I want you to tell me how good I look all the time. Those were the things. And I had that. That is my husband to a T, my ex-husband. That's him. I treated me like a king, queen. Roses, flowers every Friday, date night, out of town, whatever I want. Now I see that I do want those things and I do love those things, but I also want someone who's emotionally available. I am a very deep, in-depth person. I like to think. I like to analyze. I like to watch a movie and like kind of commentate on that. Like, what would you do if that was you? Or like, man, what'd you think about that? And I'd be like, oh, it was cool. That's crazy. I like to have conversations. I like to talk, as you can see. I love to talk. You know, I want to be up until 2 o'clock in the morning, just like, what are your hopes and dreams? Where do you see yourself in 5 years? I want someone who can handle my emotions. I'm a very emotional person. You know, I have a lot of feelings. I'm a feeler. You know, we're in a room and there's a lot of people. I may pick up on some of that energy and, you know, we may go home and I may want to talk about it, or I may want to cry sometimes just about the fact that there's like homeless people out there, or the fact that there's animals being mistreated. You know, like I am a feeler, and I want somebody that is not going to be like, oh my God, you're so sensitive, you're always crying. And, you know, I just want somebody who really understands me and is okay with me being myself. I think in a lot of relationships, I dimmed who I was because I didn't want to like outshine them. I didn't want to like leave them behind. I didn't want them to feel insecure because I am such a loud, bright, you know, outgoing person. And so I think I changed myself a lot in relationships. I tried to be, oh, wives are modest, or wives are quiet, or wives are seen and not heard. And I can't do it. I've tried. No, and it just does not work for me. It's not my personality. And so I do want to be gentle and softer and allow a man to lead, but I want him to also know that like I bring stuff to the table too. And so there may be a time where like you're strong in this area, but I'm strong in this area. And so it doesn't have to always be, well, I'm the man of this house. It can be like, oh babe, you got that. Cause that's your strong point. And I'll sit back and then I'll be like, okay, but you're smart in this. And so I need you to handle that. And then I'll like, that's how I see a marriage being a partnership, and not him always running the show, but not me always running it either. And so I really want someone that can bring balance to my life, someone who I can enjoy life with. Like life is rough, and to be able to come home and have a cup of tea and be like, man, my day was crazy. I want someone that can meet me there and be like, I might not understand, you know, I'm not a therapist, but okay, I'll listen. What kind of feedback do you want? Do you want me to just listen, or do you want me to say something back? You know, I just want somebody who can meet me there.
Right. I totally understand everything that you're saying, because
okay, good.
I mean, as a strong woman, there's no reason that you don't want someone to take care of you when things are hard for you.
Yes,
that's kind of just life. When things are hard, you want someone to be there for you.
Yeah,
I love you.
Yeah. And think about me. Like, I want to be thought about. You know, I'm a single mom. Everything is about my kids. You know, nobody says, let me make you a cup of tea. I love tea. I drink a cup of tea every morning, sometimes at night. Let me run your bath water. You know, let me have you a cup of tea ready when you're about to put in your case notes for the night. Or don't worry, like, I already put the kids to bed. You know, just simple stuff. I'm not a person that needs, like, oh, buy me a bag or buy me diamond ring. Like, I don't care about that stuff. If you would make me a cup of tea and like maybe play a game of cards with me or watch a cool show, like I would be like, or we could like listen to music. I love music. So like maybe you play a song that you like and I play a song that I like. And, you know, I love nature. If we could go for a walk, if you would go to a yoga class with me, like I would be so excited. If we could go try some foreign food. I love trying like Indian, Mediterranean, you know, I like trying different foods. Something so
different.
I just want somebody to have experiences with, but also who is there for me and just says, hey, I thought about you today. I bought you a $5 Starbucks gift card, but I just was thinking about you.
Yeah.
Those are the qualities that I want. I want someone who does what they say they're going to do. If I said that I'm going to be here at 5, I'm going to be there at 5. If I say, babe, let me call you back in an hour, call me back in an hour, you know? So those are the things that I look for: reliable, dependable, you know, does what they say they're going to do, emotionally available, trustworthy, fun, loving, self-aware. You know, maybe I'm not there yet, babe, but I'm willing to go there. Or maybe I'm not there yet, but I'll try for you. Like I said, not a lot, but those are definitely things that I realize now in my life I need. Those are kind of non-negotiables. I've negotiated on them before and my relationships have not worked. If I did not feel safe or secure with that person, or if they did not keep their word, it's hard for me to trust you when you can't keep your word.
Yeah, those are some very good characteristics and very important.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I would recommend is start looking around and watching people. I mean, you're a people person to begin with. You're a therapist. I'm sure that you notice other people.
Yeah.
But start watching and notice that when there's a stronger relationship, when, you know, one person is stronger, it doesn't even have to be the woman that's the strong one. But just notice, what is the other partner doing to add value to this relationship? What are they doing? You know, because those characteristics are the things that are going to last. In things like, you know, some of the things don't matter. Who's going to change the oil in the car? Well, in 20 years from now, who cares?
Right.
You know, but we definitely are going to care about the things like, well, what happened when we went through this really hard time?
Yes.
And who was here for me? And how did they support me through that?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one thing I would definitely look for. And then keep going on your journey. You know, your self-discovery and your, you know, building your self-esteem, you're doing a great job where it is, and I can tell.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you've made some good progress.
Thank you.
Hey, I've just got a couple minutes. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, I would just say for anybody who's where I am, just to keep going. The road to self-discovery, it's a hard one. I've had a lot of painful discoveries, a lot of painful things that I've remembered just from childhood, or just betrayals and things like that. And I guess my biggest thing is, like, you're not broken, you know, you still can have a good quality of life. And, you know, just know that we're all hurting. We've all been through something. Yeah. You know, people say, oh, everybody's crazy. Well, either nobody's crazy or everybody's crazy, because we all have something. You know, you look at people and you're like, I want their life. And you don't know what it took for them to have it. And I realized that as a therapist, the people that I'm like, you're coming to therapy for what? You have it all. And they have the most painful memories and stories. And so I think it's so important to dig down and ask yourself, why am I the way I am? You know, why do I handle conflict this way? Why do I lash out this way? Why does this hurt me? Why is this a trigger? What makes me happy? Like, I remember when I went to my first therapy session and she asked what made me happy, I broke down crying because I didn't know. I didn't know the answer. I said, I don't know, my kids. And she was like, no, what makes you happy? I was like, working. She's like, no. Outside of all that stuff with me, and I could not answer, and I was tore up. And so I really had to sit down and, like, ask myself questions that I would ask someone on a first date. What is your favorite color, Brandy? What is your favorite food? What is your favorite movie? When have you sat down and watched a movie? What do you like to do? Where would you like, I had to ask myself first date questions. I really had to get to know myself. And that was painful because I was sad that I didn't know myself at 30.
Yeah.
I felt so stupid and shameful. And like, what have I been doing all my life? Taking care of everybody else. And I don't even know who I am. So I would say, discover yourself, take yourself on dates, take yourself on vacation. Really love yourself. I have a book where I write down like what I like, and it's a journal, and it asks me questions. It's like the journal of me. And I love it because it gives me time to sit and be with myself. And so that's the biggest advice, because I can't tell someone what I want in a partner if I don't know who I am.
True. That's true.
Yeah.
And the more that you know yourself, the better partner you're going to find for yourself, because you know what you need.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, Brandy, thank you for sharing all of your thoughts with us. I really
thank you so
it.
Much
it's
for
been great
having
listening
me.
To you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Elevate Your Life. We'll see you next time.